Welcome to the Escape for Thy Life radio broadcast. This is a presentation of the independent Thuzia Seventh-day Adventist Church, a revival of original Adventism and ancient Christianity.
Greetings of grace and peace to you, St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and all of you who are listening to this program today, wherever you are. My name is Brother Shefflon Valentine of the Thuzia Seventh-day Adventist Church. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Loving Father, who art in heaven, we thank you for your mercies, your blessings, your kindness towards us. And now, as we discuss this very important issue, as we turn to the scriptures to get answers there, Father, we pray that you will save us from the abominable practices of sodomy. This we pray in your holy name. Amen. Now, just a few reminders. Remember that you can call us at 528-2123. That's 528-2123. Or 531-7558. Remember as well that you can email us at escapeforthylife@gmail.com. That's escapeforthylife@gmail.com. You can also find us on YouTube at our channel Thuzia SDA Gospel. Just do a search for Thuzia SDA Gospel and subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you wish to join us for fellowship, we are located upstairs in Morocco Cooperative Credit Union, where we hold services every Sabbath from 9:30 in the morning. We have two Bible studies. You can join us for those. Now, just a few days ago, on June the 26th, 2015, the United States Supreme Court passed a ruling legalizing same-sex marriage across the 50 states of the United States of America. And we here at Thuzia Seventh-day Adventist Church must respond to this ruling. So we are going to begin responding with a program today called Scriptural Principles Against Sodomy. We want to turn to the scriptures to see what the scripture says once again concerning sodomy. And then we'll go in subsequent broadcasts into this ruling and to see the different principles we need to understand to save ourselves as a country against rulings like these, against the influence of the so-called gay right movements across the globe. Let's turn to scripture. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible tells us that God created two distinct genders. When he created man, he created two distinct genders, male and female. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, we are told this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. End of quote. So the Bible is telling us here clearly, without the shadow of a doubt, that there are only two distinct genders that God created when he created man. He created male and he created female. There isn't another gender apart from these two. Then we are told, as another principle in verse 28, that God blessed or married these two human beings, male and female, and instructed them to be fruitful and multiply and to replenish the earth. Here's what verse 28 of Genesis chapter 1 tells us. It says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. End of quote. So here the principle is given that not only did God create two distinct genders, but these two distinct genders were joined together in marriage and instructed to be fruitful and multiply. So we can see from this that the only justifiable context within which sexual intercourse and the bearing of children can take place is in the context of two distinct genders, male and female, coming together in marriage. That's what the scripture tells us. The proper context for sexual intercourse and childbearing is within the context of marriage, which takes place between a male and a female. Now, the Bible goes on to tell us that before God made the woman, that's Eve, he saw that Adam was alone. He then created one who will fill that void as a suitable fit or helpmeet for Adam. Let's understand what is happening here in the book of Genesis chapter 2. And we read in verse 18, verse 21, and also verse 22. At this point in time, God had created man, Adam, to be more specific. He had already created many of the living creatures. Adam was given dominion over these creatures. And these creatures, each of them had their partner. This was to ensure a continuation, or this was to ensure that there was reproduction or multiplying taking place. But here Adam is faced with a situation where he is alone. And here's what the Bible says concerning that. In verse 18 of Genesis chapter 2, we are told, "And Yahweh God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." End of quote. So here, God himself said that it is not good for a man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet, or, according to the original, one who is fit for him, one who is suitable for him. Now, the scripture goes on to tell us exactly what happened in verse 21. It says, "And Yahweh God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which Yahweh God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man." End of quote. So we are seeing here clearly several things. God created Eve for Adam by taking from Adam a rib, and he used that rib and he formed Eve, the woman. And when he was finished forming Eve, he presented Eve to Adam as Adam's helpmeet. Notice, no animal was given to Adam as his fit or his helpmeet. God is against bestiality. Notice as well, another man or male was not created and given to Adam to deal with his aloneness. That would be an abomination. God is against homosexuality or sodomy. So we are seeing here the principle is clear. The only helpmeet or human being who is fit for a man is a woman. That's what the scripture is pointing out here. And so God saw it fit to create a woman and present that woman to Adam as his suitable fit to deal with the issue of being alone. So in terms of suitability for companionship and assurance and understanding and so on, and in terms of suitability to carry out God's command in multiplying and replenishing the earth, it was a woman that God created to fit that role, to be the helpmeet or the suitable fit for the man that God previously created called Adam. This is what we are seeing in these scriptures, and if we hold on to these principles, we'll be safe as a country and as a people and as individuals. Now, what else does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that God gave instruction for the future generation concerning marriage, that it is to be between a man and a woman, even as God set the example in blessing Adam and Eve. Here's what the Bible tells us. In verse 24 of Genesis chapter 2, it tells us this. Verse 24 of Genesis chapter 2, it says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." End of quote. Now you ask yourself the question, do you see the scripture says, a man shall leave his father and his mother, and cleave unto his husband? Is the scripture saying a man shall leave his mother and his mother and cleave unto his husband? The scripture does not say anything like that. But obviously, Adam and Eve did not have physical father and mother. So this instruction is clearly for future generations after Adam and Eve. Also, the scripture tells us here clearly that there is a father and a mother. And it tells us that the man who leaves his father and his mother is to cleave unto a wife or a woman. It does not tell us that he is to cleave unto a man. And in cleaving unto a woman, the Bible tells us the two shall be one flesh. So a man and a man cannot be one flesh. A woman and a woman cannot be one flesh. But this scripture also shows us the principle that the environment within which a child is to grow into adulthood is one where there is a father and a mother. That's God's plan for family. That's what family is. So clearly, the scripture is pointing out to us that marriage is between a man and a woman. It is between a male and a female. It is telling us here as well that the two, the man and the woman, become one flesh. Now, God does not approve of polygamy, since the Bible does not tell us the man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave unto wives. Plural. Neither is God in favor of bestiality or incest or pedophilia or any of these things. But the Bible set out to us clearly what marriage is and what a family constitutes. That marriage is in fact the union of a male and a female, and that a family consists of a father and a mother, or a man and a woman who are married. This is what the scripture is telling us here clearly. Now, this definition exists long before there was ever an establishment of a nation. It existed long before there was human government. It existed long before there was a Supreme Court or a human justice system. This definition pre-existed many of the institutions that exist today. It is in fact one of God's first institutions among men. That is important to remember and to understand and to take note of, because this is one of the institutions that Satan seeks to destroy. Now, what does Jesus Christ say about marriage? Because there are many lukewarm, two-timing, apostate, backsliding Christians, so-called, who present a view that Jesus Christ did not oppose so-called same-sex marriage or homosexuality, but Jesus was somehow soft and easy towards that and therefore accepting of homosexual practices. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ himself confirmed this very definition of marriage as being between a man and a woman. In the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 4, 5, and 6, the Bible tells us this. It says, "And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not heard that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder." End of quote. So what we are seeing here clearly is that Jesus Christ confirmed the truth about marriage as being between a male and a female. We are also seeing that he affirms God's divine authority over this institution. It is God who created it. And God only joins together a male and a female. Anybody who seeks to destroy that, they are going against God's very institution, God's very divine institution. This is what the scripture is pointing out here. God does not join together a female and a female. God never did that. God never joined together a male and a male. God never did that. But the Bible tells us that who God joined together is a male and a female. Not a female and a female, and a male and a male, as the Supreme Court justices would want you to believe. Jesus Christ himself also makes reference to a significant event that took place in history and prophesied that even so it will be in the end. What was this event about? Let us look at Luke chapter 17, verses 28, 29, and 30. Here's what it says. Verse 28 says, "Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." End of quote. So the Bible is telling us before Jesus Christ returns the second time, you will have the same kind of practices that were done in the time of Lot, in the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, before it was destroyed. These very same practices will re-emerge upon the earth and will be practiced. But the United States of America has taken it a step even further. They are not only practicing it, but they have legalized it. They have promoted it as something that is legal and to be accepted by all 50 states within the United States of America. What did Paul say about marriage? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31, here's what Paul says. He affirms the truth that it is between a man and a woman. Ephesians 5:31 tells us this. It reads, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." End of quote. Now we understand from Jesus' words themselves that it is God who joins the man and the woman together. So marriage predates legal contracts within society. Marriage predates the establishment of countries and states. It is God himself who instituted it. It is God who has authority over the very definition of it. And when God defines it as being man and woman coming together under his blessing, then who is society? Who is a Supreme Court with five judges to redefine that and impose their flawed definition upon society for acceptance? That is blasphemous. Now let's understand something. The Bible records for us a significant event that took place many, many years ago. In Genesis chapter 18, and we are going to go through these verses, in Genesis chapter 18, from verse 17 to 22, we are told this. Listen to this carefully. Genesis chapter 18, from verse 17 to 22. The Bible tells us this. "And Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of Yahweh to do justice and judgment, that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. And Yahweh said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous." Notice the Bible says the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a national sin what they were practicing there. They were known for practicing it as a national image or character. The Bible says that it was very grievous. It grieved Yahweh himself to his very heart what they were doing there. What happened? He says in verse 21, "I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know." And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before Yahweh. End of quote. So the Bible is telling us that God himself decided he's going to come down to investigate this grievous wickedness that was taking place in this area, Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, the Bible tells us of five cities: Sodom, Gomorrah, Adama, Zeboim, and Zoar. Now, it goes on to tell us of a conversation Yahweh himself had with Abraham. And at the end of this, by the time this conversation ended, you couldn't find 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. You couldn't even find 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. But we pick up this account in chapter 19 and verse 1. Here's what the Bible tells us. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot seeing them rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. So here these angels had the intention of abiding in the streets all night. This is what the scripture is telling us. And Lot is here persuading them to come in unto him. Come in into my house. Let me show you hospitality. Wash your feet. Give you something to eat. Make bed for you to sleep on, so that you will dwell here all night and you can go on your way in the morning. Why would Lot be so hospitable towards these people? It is because of the dangerous situations that were existing there. And so Lot decided he's going to extend hospitality to these people to save them from danger. Now the scripture also tells us that he addressed them as my lords. So he clearly, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. Clearly he recognized that these people are of a different type. He recognized somehow that these people who are visiting, they are different. They are not the ordinary visitor entering Sodom. Now the scripture tells us that they were angels. In verse 3 we are told this. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. So he eventually was able to persuade them to dwell with him overnight, and to, when they wake up in the morning, then they can go. So he persuaded them to do that. Now verse 4 tells us this. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. End of quote. Now what is happening here? You have two men entering the house of Lot, and before they can even rest themselves, the Bible tells us that the men of the city, the men of Sodom, compassed the house, both old and young. And when the Bible says young, the original gives us the idea that young here represents lad. People from as young as a child up to adolescent age. So here the scripture is telling us that they surrounded Lot's house. Why? The Bible tells us in verse 5, And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Did you see this? So here they are, clamoring and demanding of Lot, as if it is a right, that Lot release these two men unto them, that they will know or have sexual intercourse with these two men. This is what was happening here. And the Bible tells us that all the men of the city, all the people from every quarter, young and old, came out to do this, to practice homosexuality upon these two men. The Bible tells us further in verse 6, And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known men. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For thereof came they under the shadow of my roof. Verse 9 tells us, And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Nor will we deal worse unto thee than with them. And they pressed so upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. End of quote. So this is what is happening. Here Lot, in his lack of wisdom, here he is offering his two daughters to these men for them to have sexual intercourse with his two daughters. But they refuse, Lot's two daughters, and decided that they will do even worse with Lot than they had intended to do with these two men. Clearly, this was a situation of violence. This was a situation where they not only wanted to have sexual intercourse with these two men, to commit homosexuality with them, but they also were moved with violence to commit violence against Lot, and to do even worse to Lot than they had planned to do with these two men. This is the behavior of people who decide that they want to have sexual intercourse the wrong way. This is the behavior of people who want to practice deviant sexual behavior. God didn't create them for that. God didn't create a man to be the helpmeet or the sexual partner of another man. God created Eve for Adam. That's what the Bible tells us, as the appropriate fit for him. But this is the new creation that he was seeking to establish here. What does the Bible tell us? The Bible tells us that God had to destroy these cities. Here's what the Bible tells us further in verse 10. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. End of quote. Now when we read a little lower down, we are given the instruction that was given to Lot. And we see this in verse 12. It says, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of Yahweh, and Yahweh hath sent us to destroy it. End of quote. And then the Bible tells us that Lot was commanded to escape for his life. In verse 17 it says, and it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, and he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And the Bible tells us in verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then Yahweh rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from Yahweh out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. And the Bible tells us further that Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. This is what the Bible is telling us. Now this account is recorded here to show us God's hatred for the practice of sodomy. Why would a country decide, why would five men decide to impose this practice upon an entire nation? Why would they decide to legitimize it by making it legal and imposing it upon a people? Why would they do that? What follows this kind of practice is destruction. This wasn't legalized here in Sodom as a marriage. This wasn't legalized here in Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities as a marriage. But here the United States has taken it even further, beyond the very practice and behavior, to actually legalizing it as a marriage. Then we will continue this discussion in our next broadcast. But remember these principles, that God defined marriage as being between a man and a woman. God does not approve of homosexuality, nor homosexual marriage. That is not a marriage in the eyes of God, since God created male and female, and he is the one who joined them together in marriage. May God bless you as you tune in to us next week when we'll continue. Remember that you can call us at 528-2123 or 531-7558. May God bless you.
How shall we stand in that great day? Shall we be found?